the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing, through his blood I now am saved.
Feeding on the husks around me, till my strength was almost gone, long my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing, through his blood I now am saved.
Well of water, ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me.
Hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing, through his blood I now am saved. Through his blood I now am saved.
Good morning again to everybody here. I guess it is there. And I want to go on record and saying this about coming to church. All of you who are here, you're here for a reason. And I think it's important that people get together because it's an umbrella for you. It's a thing of protection. Satan can't get at you. It's not a law, religious thing, or an act of you have to. You should want to go to church. We don't serve Christ under the have to category. We serve Christ under we want to. That's the attitude got changed when I became born again, from having to go to church, from wanting to go to church or prayer meeting or whatever it is. It seems to me, if I have a hockey game planned, I make every effort to be at that game. I've never missed one in years. I played hockey for 30 years. And I made sure I was at every hockey game. I hope I was that diligent when it came to the things of God, and I think I was. But I'm just giving an example of how we are as humans. We seem to pick and choose what's important in our lives, and we go to those events with devotion like none other. But when it comes to church, we seem to find every little excuse to miss it. At least that's what I find in my life. But I still went against my nature and went to church, even though I didn't want to sometimes. You have to discipline the flesh when it comes to stuff like that. And avoid making rules about going to church, because it's not about you coming here out of force. It's about you coming here and wanting to be here and to get in touch of what the Lord has. Because I believe when any of the pastors get up and speak, they speak from the Lord. They have the word of the Lord pressed upon their hearts by the Holy Spirit on what to speak on. And it's important that we bring it forth in a fashion or in a way where the Holy Spirit is involved. Like I was praying here before, that we can do this every day if we want to. If the Holy Spirit isn't here, I don't even want to be here. The point of getting together is to uplift. There's a scripture in, I think it's in Hebrews, where it says that we shouldn't forsake assembly of ourselves together as we see that day approaching. What day? The days of evil that are coming. The day of the Lord, it's coming. We should actually be more into the things of God than ever. And if that's not within us, maybe we're on the wrong path somewhere. Anyway, that was my little vent, if that's a vent. So let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for your grace, that we are under your grace. We're not under the law, but we also want us to be under the protection of the church, of the body of Christ. We're all one. So you will bless us. And having said that, Lord, I also pray for Henry, that you will have his healing, your healing power touch him right now, Lord. Jesus, you're not bound by our physical stature, Lord, and our standing. You can do when we ask. Paul sent out a handkerchief so people could be healed. So you'll heal the brother right now. Touch his wife. Touch Laverna also. You'll bless the brother and sister. You'll bless us here this morning, Lord, that we will know we have been in touch with you. And you will encourage our hearts to get into your things, Lord God, as we see the evil days approaching, Lord, that we will stand up and rise up against that. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. You may be seated. I have a little bit of a two-part message. One is what we maybe are into. I sort of touched in on a little bit. And the other part is I want to encourage ourselves. Because there's everyday life we face. I mean, we can come together, be high in the Holy Spirit. We're on the mountain. We seem to think we can make every decision possible. If you ever been in bed and you dream about things that you should be doing and you think, oh, I'll do that. And then when you come down to the demon-possessed valley, you find you turtle and, I'm not going to do that. People will think I'm stupid or crazy. So there's decisions you make when you're up there, and then when you come back down to reality, you sort of excuse it away. I've been there. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And we're all humans. We all have had that, oh, I'll do it. And that decision is easily made when you're up. The Holy Ghost is there. You're in the presence of the Lord. And then you say, yeah. And then he lets you down to that path of reality. The other one is reality too, but I'm talking about the reality of everyday life where you try to blend in with the rest of society at work or wherever it is, and you become your normal self again. We need to stay focused and know what the fight is all about, because people are struggling with everyday decisions to fight the onslaught of whatever it is. Even they're doing it even without the power of God or without help from above, because a lot of them are unbelievers, and they see what's coming is not good. So they're prepping in different ways on how to face the onslaught of what's coming. They're buying guns, they're hoarding food, they're doing all kinds of stuff that the Bible never tells us to do. So my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And when my first scripture is Joshua 24, verse 15, and here's Joshua speaking to the children of Israel, and he says to them, If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, on the other side of Jordan, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Has your house made that decision? Make that decision. Once you make that decision, the Lord does a mighty work. You don't have to fight to make that decision, but you have to make a conscious decision at one point in your life and saying, Lord, you're the one I want to serve. And again, it's idolatry when we serve other gods, but it becomes adultery when we bring something or someone or something else into the relationship with Christ. So that's not only idolatry, it's also adultery, because adultery is when something else is added to a relationship. So you want to be extremely careful on what you tie yourself to. And I'll give you some examples. And again, that could be anything or anyone that you pay more attention to than Jesus. That's the adultery side of things, when you bring something else into the relationship with Christ. And it could be work, it could be sports, it could be money, music. our smartphones or tablets, just to name a few things. And yes, I did say music, and I'll tell you something, you can use music to block out the Holy Spirit's nudging of your path that you should be walking. I know people who've used music, even Christian music, loud music, just to fill their minds so they do not hear what the Holy Spirit is actually trying to tell and convey to them. So be very careful on how you listen, what you listen. And I'm not saying music is bad. It has its place, but that's not really worship. Worship is a heart thing. You can use music to worship as an instrument. Yes, absolutely. But your priorities need to be with the Lord in mind of Him being lifted up in this. Now, if you've made a decision to serve God and you have said that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, I want to encourage you to stay strong. There's an old pastor that used to come to our church, Mr. Jake Weeb, and he always had five words. You guys remember those words? I know Dwight does. And these were his words. He said, and he made us all say them. So I'll say them the first time. He says, never, ever, ever give up. So you repeat those words after me, but say them from your heart. I will never, ever, ever give up. We have to have that mindset set. The giving up, there is a great force behind us. You do not need to worry. God has you. And I'll give you some scripture that'll make your hair stand up. But they're scripture from God. And God has promises, and His promises are good. They're yes, yes, if we decide to serve Him with all our hearts. So yeah, I want to encourage you to never, ever, ever give up. And remember, it's not over when you fail, fall, make mistakes. It's not over. It's over when you give up. That's when it's over. So mistake is not over. Mistake is, oh, I get to try it again. Get to go again. That's why I like sports so much, or playing hockey. I get to go out another shift and try again what I made a mistake before. So that's life. We get to try again. You make a mistake, try again. You miss that target, you get to shoot again. See if we can perfect it. It's the same thing with Christianity. Don't give up. Try again. Just because you fail doesn't mean I'm going to stop target shooting. I still want to hit that bullseye every time. I don't attain it very often, but when I do, I want to stop right then, because that's a good feeling to going away from that. But if you miss that last shot, you're always wondering, man, what did I do wrong there? So you don't want that feeling, but however, you still don't want to give up. Continue to fight just because you had a letdown and somebody disappointed you. Don't go by that. Don't give up. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's the God we serve. So be very deliberate when it comes to serving God. Deliberately serve Him. Like Joshua says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Seek after the truth to attain knowledge and wisdom of God. Knowledge and wisdom, if you read through Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Proverbs, they bring you a long way. They'll keep you to the point of preserving your life even. Isaiah 41:10, it says, this is a really good scripture. Fear you not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. He's talking to us here. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will keep you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Not yours, His righteousness. Either you believe this or it's a lie. Again, choose what this scripture means. I choose to believe it. I choose that God is trustworthy, and you can believe what He says here. I'm going to tell a little story of a missionary. His name was John Patton. He was a Scottish missionary back in the late 1800s. And adversity he faced was insurmountable. It was unbelievable. Most of us would give up. But he was a missionary, and he went to the islands of the South Pacific. And the particular island that he went to were cannibalistic people. They killed anybody new coming to the island. They would kill and they would eat some of them. And they would serve their God with, and they did it because they thought they were doing honor to their God. And it was fear. Constant fear drove them to do what they did. So he made it to that island, him and his wife, and I think it's also his kids. I might not get the story 100% as it happened, but you'll get the gist of it when I'm done. So they came to the island, and they had either a makeshift home. Again, I don't know what they were in, but the same night the people came, the savages came and surrounded his house. And they prayed, and they had heard the stories. If they come to that island, you will be killed, and they will eat you. So they prayed all night. So in the morning he got up, they were gone, those people. So they weren't there. So eventually he led the whole island to the Lord after about a year or so. And then one day he asked the chief, "So remember the night when I came here, when you surrounded us? Why did you leave?" He says, "Oh yeah, when we got there, you were surrounded with angels, with people with big swords. And they were huge, so we just left." This is the God we serve. "My people perish for the lack of knowledge." You have a choice in this matter. If you're around, remember, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not kept from the fire in the lion's den. They were kept in it when they went through it. We're not promised to be kept from trials, tribulations, and sorrows. God is promising us he's going to be with us. But remember this. Keep that in the back of your mind. You have all power and authority over the devil and over hell. He cannot touch you unless God allows it. And the last time I read the prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So his will for us is to be overcomers. We can be like Stephen and give up the ghost and go home. Or we can be like Paul and get up after that stoning and say, "I'm going to fight the fight till the end." We have a choice to make. So God will honor whatever decision we make. He doesn't going to interfere with us. And then Hebrews 1:14 sort of backs up. It does back up John Payton. It's John Payton was his name. It says in 1 John 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Who is that? That's us. Angels are there standing at attention waiting for you to tell them to protect them, to protect you in whatever you're in. Your vehicle, when you drive, when you go into things, ask God to have his angels around you and it'll happen. Again, don't be destroyed from the lack of knowledge. Educate yourselves in the things of God, and God will surely come through. For Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13, unbelievable scriptures again. He goes, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord." Excuse me, "thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." What an incredible promise. "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hear you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." There's a check mark here, or a question mark, I should say. If you shall search me with all your heart. Make sure your heart is in it, your whole heart. So if you do struggle with worry, depression, or thoughts of suicide, or self-hatred, or self-pity, or even lustful thoughts, or whatever it may be that this human mind and body can endure, it is within you already, every born-again believer, to put up a good fight of faith. You have the tools within you to come against that stuff. It is your lack of knowledge or your ability not to put up a good fight that will cause you to be defeated. Again, I'll go back to that scripture I said before, or that quote I had. Remember, it's not over when you fail or fall or make a mistake. It's over when you give up. So when those thoughts come to you, they're thoughts. You need to deal with them. I'm encouraging you to do that. It's your dear fight. You can seek out a pastor all you want, or a counselor, or whoever it is. The ultimate battle will be won if you're the one who takes stand in this. So in closing, I have this to say here. Don't ever give up. Our enemy is ruthless and relentless and goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But the God you chose to serve the day you did is able to keep you from falling into total despair. Just look up. And again, don't allow yourself to be destroyed from the lack of knowledge. Educate yourselves in the things of God, and you will find out that wisdom and knowledge go a long way when it comes to serving God and fighting against the enemy. Amen.
Anyway, I got a different message here with which I want to challenge everyone. How many people here and those over the internet, how many are seeking the gifts of God? You go after the gifts of God. If you're going to see what's or understands what's going on today, you need the gifts of God for God to be able to communicate what is happening. And he does it through the gifts. He opens your eyes. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." He doesn't want you to be ignorant. He wants you to know it's available for you. You can tap into it. You can go get it. But far too many people don't seem to want to be bothered. We got too much going in these days and ages to get after the gifts. But I warn you, time is coming. You wish you would have spent time studying the gifts. And it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "For to one is given by the Spirit of word, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit." God has endowed each and every one of us with a specialty that we had, whether it's wisdom, whether it's knowledge, whether it's faith, whether it's healing. Some of us have it. The problem is we don't go out and we don't see if we have it. Sitting on your couch at home, wishing, hoping you'd have it, and at the same time watching a movie that was made 2 years ago, I wouldn't recommend watching them. At all, they can drown out all the spirituality that you have. I know that for a fact. They leave you dry. They leave you wondering what on earth you're doing watching that garbage. But God wants you to pursue wisdom, knowledge, faith. And he wants you to pursue healing. Why does he want you to pursue it? It's to the edification of other people. It says to another a work of miracles, which we do not see a lot in our circles. To another prophecies. We see that sometimes. To another, discerning of spirits. God has given me a discerning of spirits. When somebody comes to church here, somehow in my spirit I know how long they'll last. It's a revelation God has given me. To another, different kinds of tongues. you speak in tongues. This should not be an excuse. How many of us here speak in tongues? Now, there's different types of tongues. One is to edify yourself. Nobody needs to know about it. You can walk about it by yourself. Sit, be at home, and pray in tongues. Edify yourself, and God, through that gift, will give you revelation. He will show you what is on ahead. But to another, the interpretation of tongues. You can interpret what it's talking about. How many would dare to lift their hand? I can interpret tongues. I speak in tongues. How many would dare to lift their hands? I'm one of those guys. Well, God is going to ask you at the Bema Seat of Christ, what about the gifts I give you? Did you use them? Well, not really. I was too busy. Or I kept them wrapped up. Or I didn't quite believe in them. I didn't believe in them. They went out with the apostles. Sorry, the word today is the same as it was yesterday. But to all these works, the one and the same self spirit, dividing to ever mean severally as he will. So it's this one God that gives to each person a different gift. And I covet to see this in our church. Will we see it? I don't know. Sometimes we get a glimpse of it when we pray with one another. But it seems like people don't pursue it very much. We need to pursue those gifts so God can use them in us, so that we can edify people. Today, many people don't believe in prophecy. Well, I do happen to believe in prophecy. You just got to make sure that your timeline is right, or else you'll get discouraged. How about interpretation of tongues? When you hear somebody praying in tongues, you can interpret. You know what is being preached or said. I can interpret some of my tongues. God shows me what I am praying. And sometimes it's very edifying. But the thing is, many people don't seem to have the ability or the guts to even dare speak in tongues or bring out a revelation from tongues. So now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. It's regardless what you do. If you're good at being a mechanic, God has given you that ability. If you're good at whatever you're doing, let's go into the natural. You're good at maybe fixing stuff. You're good at planing stuff. You're good at setting up things, stuff. It's easy for you. You see it in your mind's eye. Here's how I'm going to do it. Why do you see it? It's God that has given you the gift. And then you need the hands to do it. There's people who have hands that can do incredible things. I can see with my eyes what God wants us to do. But my hands many times don't have the ability to do what he wants to do. I've been sitting at a computer trying to figure out. I see what the guy's trying to show me what to do, but I know in my hands I can't do it. Why? God hasn't given me the gifts. If I turn and try to do it, it might turn out the way I want it to be. It does not usually turn out because I'm not gifted to do what God has shown me. So it is in the spiritual realm. God wants you to be a man that will bring forth a message, bring forth a word. He will bring forth something that will edify the church. And he needs to, if he can't speak, he needs to explain it to somebody who can speak, and they will bring forth the message. God has set it up that way. It's so we are not all by ourselves. We are a body, and we need to work together. So God lets us understand it's for us. And one day at the judgment seat of Christ, he will ask, why didn't you use what I gave to you? You didn't care very much. You're more interested in the things of this world. It didn't seem to be too important to you. Why? It is because you're minded and grounded on this planet. God says, don't think on the things that are here. Think on the things that are above. That's our home. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. One day, it'll be over. I know that for a fact. I don't have much time left. I'm going home to be with the Lord. I'm going to spend the rest of eternity with God. And what I learned here is a spring start for what I'm going to be doing over there. So if you're going to start from nothing over there, you're going to be behind time all the way through eternity, because everybody's going to go full speed ahead there. There's not going to be holding back. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him not acknowledge it, that the things that I write unto you are commandments of the Lord. God wrote those things down. They're not just something written down and passed around and rewritten. It says, I have knowledge, the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. Paul himself wrote down things that were commanded to him by God. We could write a book. We could speak to one another. What? What God has spoken to us. We're too shy, figuring, well, maybe it wasn't God. Yes, if you are a born-again Christian, many, many, many times, God speaks to you personally. And he wants you to speak to other people. There's people who kind of are sarcastic when you tell them of what God spoke to you. But don't let that worry you. There are people waiting for that word. They don't care. They're waiting for that word because God has been trying to tell them. So it says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. We need to prophesy. on what's going to happen. Prophesy through the Word of God. The Word of God teaches on what's going to happen in the future. Most of the prophesying I'm doing is based on what I read in Scripture. We can see what's happening in the Middle East. It's happening. Things are happening there. Why am I not afraid? Why am I riled? Am I not riled up? Because I'm waiting for the real thing to happen. What's happening now is just basically small stuff. I was speaking to a person not too long ago. I'm waiting for Russia to start making its move against Israel. How do I know about that? I've read it in Scripture. Ezekiel 38:39 explains to you that the Russians, that Gog and Magog, Turkey, they're going to come down and they're going to come against Israel. It's going to be horrific. The fighting is going to be terrible, but it's not going to hurt Israel very much because the fighting will be mostly against those people who come against Israel. That's the prophecy I have. I've heard people say, no, I don't quite agree that the Russians are going to do that. Well, we're going to find out. I don't believe the Bible makes mistakes by calling out names. What name God has given us? They can be your best friends today. The time is coming when they'll turn your back on you and will go down the path of Satan right to destruction, just like God prophesied through his people. He will do it. Therefore, covet to prophesy. Forbid not to speak in tongues. Why is that so important? Because many, many churches have forbidden to speak in tongues. Why? That's causing unrest. That's causing unruliness. Why? When you start praying in tongues, demons get riled up. I've seen it again and again and again. They get riled up. And the people that do have the demons start not liking what you're preaching. Instead of getting rid of the devils, they get rid of themselves out the door. Why? Because they cannot handle what they're so used to all their lives. I heard a person tell me they're trying to cast out a demon of a person, but the person doesn't allow it because the person has become comfortable with the demon that's in her. It's doing things that she likes what he's doing. So these are the dangers of not listening to the Word of God. It's not going to stop there. It's going to get worse and worse and worse for that person because he's allowing a demon to enter into his domain, whether he's a Christian, and that demon will bring many others to plague that person. It says, forbid not to speak in tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. We should try to keep order when we do these things, because God knows what it means when there's no order in a place. I want to read you one more scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of tongues is to many people foolishness, but to those that speak in tongues, it's the power of God. The preaching of prophesying is foolishness to many, many people, but to us, it's a lifeline into what's going on ahead. We can expect things to happen. We know what things will happen. We're not like the unbelievers. We know what lies ahead. That's why we're not scared. That's why we're not anxious. That's why we're not committing suicide. That's why we are anticipating Jesus to do something. And it will not take very long anymore where God will say, come up hither. I want all those who know Jesus to come up hither. To where's that? Into heaven. And then all hell will break loose here on this planet. You don't want to stay here. And you cannot say you have not been warned. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring nothing to understanding of the prudent. This wisdom this world has is nothing. God will bring it down. And only what matters is what God has in store for his people. So we can look forward to that. If you do not know Christ today, I urge you, get to know him. Because tomorrow can be too late. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we can be changed. And if you do not know Jesus, you will not be changed. You will be left here to carry the brunt of God's wrath. And it's not going to be a kindergarten picnic. That's one thing I can assure you of. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Every eye shall see, every ear shall hear the sound of angels when he comes, when he comes. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord when he comes, when he comes. And he'll plant his beautiful feet upon this mountain, and the dead of all the ages who believed on him will rise. I'll be one in the first resurrection when he comes, when he comes, when he comes. Everyone then will know that it's him, really him, the one and only. When he comes, when he comes, glorified and transformed, I'll arise at his on this mountain, and the dead of all the ages who believed on him will rise. I'll be one in the first resurrection when he comes. I'll be one in the first resurrection when he comes.